Hello and welcome to the 39th edition of the Jaguar Report podcast, your post-draft pod. I'm Gus Slow. Joining me is my co-host, John Shipley. Have you recovered fully from all 13 selections yet, John?
That was a mouthful. Post-draft pod. That was
post-draft pod. Yeah, I had to take a beat.
Yeah, that was pretty good. Now, 13 picks, man. Whew. I did not think they were going to do it.
No.
It's like the end of, you know, Planet Apes. He's like, you really did it. You blew it up. Like, they really did it. I didn't see it coming at all. No. Like you said, it was like a marathon. I definitely recovered. I mean, I'm still like in my like draft analysis part, you know, of the class. Like I'm still watching tape on all the guys they've drafted. I've watched most of the guys, but still going through everything because, you know, like I told you, I watched about 100 guys and they drafted a handful of them.
Yeah. Did you watch? Obviously, you watched Anton Harrison. You watched Tank beforehand?
Beforehand, no.
Oh. Well, who did you watch before the draft that the Jags ended up drafting? Like Anton Harrison,
Antonio Johnson, Yasir.
Yasir.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
I'll just wait to.
I should have watched Tank. That was on me. And I should have watched Brendan Strange, but
I mean, given that like we knew for sure they were taking a running back round 3 or 4, I was just hoping the whole process that it was gonna end up being a fourth rounder. But
McBride fell to the 7th and Pierce fell out of the draft altogether. Those were surprising to me. Hey,
right.
I did not realize Spears did not have an ACL.
I did not know that either. That's pretty tough. There was one tweet I saw was like, he can play in the NFL, but it will be a very short career.
If I knew that, I probably would have mocked him
a little bit more.
Yeah, no, I definitely should have watched Tank. I mean, what I've watched Tank, like I don't think anybody's like, we'll obviously talk about it, like the issue with Tank at all is like where he was taken in a draft. Like that seems about where, you know, he should go.
Agreed. Yeah, I think especially when you consider like the drop off in running backs, like you said, like McBride falling to the 7th round.
Yeah, is like the NFL didn't like this running back class.
Yeah. So when the tank pick happened, it was like, oh, maybe they could have waited another round and gotten like someone else. But really, like I think they like went into the draft wanting a rotational running back. And there was less of those available than we might have originally said. So I agree. I think in a vacuum, like the tank pick is completely fine / solid.
100%. Yeah. And then, like you said, we'll talk about it more. And I think at each of you know, the positions, we're going to talk about, you know, maybe some of the other guys who are options there. But, man, you want to start off right off the bat?
Let's do it.
The entire draft went very different from how the first round went. I mean, dude, Jed Balke had won like the 3 or 4 best like first nights of like any general manager. Like
it was so good.
It was terrific. You know, like even if you want to debate the selection of an offensive tackle or the selection of Harrison, you know, I know the consensus board doesn't love him. I know Dane Brugler wasn't like super high on him, but I mean, he's a guy who like NFL teams talked about like in the top 20 for like this entire process. I didn't think he was going to be there at 24 in general. You know,
right.
I thought he was going to go off in the top 20 on that run of tackles because to me, there was 5 offensive tackles worth being taken in the first round, and he was, you know, that last one.
Exactly, yeah. Peter King dropped in his Monday column that the Raiders were apparently considering Anton Harrison 12th overall, and then I was pretty convinced that he wasn't going to get past the Buccaneers at 19th overall. So to back up a little bit, John and I are going to just go pick by pick and assign grades to each player. And the Jaguars originally were supposed to pick 24th overall on Thursday night. They ended up trading back twice, once with the Giants to get to 25, once with the Bills to get to 27, and came away with Anton Harrison, who is a 2-year starter at Oklahoma and earned second team All Big 12 selection in 2021 and a first team selection in 2022. And he played left tackle for the Sooners, but is expected to play on the right side for the Jaguars. Is that correct?
Yeah, no, I think Doug Peterson, you know, already said in an interview, like with the new Jaguars.com reporter, that, you know, he's going to play right tackle and, you know, play next to Brandon Scherff. So Brandon Scherff had a rookie next to him last year, right off the bat again in year two. And like if you look at it big picture wise, like they're just basically replacing, like go back to the Kansas City game, the playoff game, that same offensive lineup. They're replacing Marvin Jones with Calvin Ridley and Juwan Taylor with Anton Harrison. And that's more or less it. You know, like he's just a direct replacement for Juwan Taylor, which, you know, if he plays at a solid level, I mean, relative to what they did to get him compared to what Juwan's getting, obviously he'll be at left tackle. I mean, it'll look like a good deal, but I mean, they needed to come out of the draft with a starting right tackle, and that's never a good position to be in. And yeah, they in my opinion, got lucky that Harrison was there. Like, I was surprised that he was, and I do think the Bengals would have taken him if they traded down a third time. I know Trent Baalke mentioned, you know, that they considered it a third time. I really think the Bengals would have taken him.
There was a bunch of rumors about how, like, a handful of teams were desperately trying to trade back into the first two. So, I mean, the Titans ended up trading it for Will Levis at 33 overall, but I think Harrison would have been another potential guy that teams were trying to get.
Yeah, I mean, what I guess the biggest question is, you know, him. He started, what, one game at right tackle in his career, and now you're shifting him over for a guy who started, what was it, 68 games over there? I mean, what I guess, level drop-off do you expect there to be right away?
Right away, I would say pretty significant, honestly, just because, as you said, he's going over to the other side. Juwan Taylor seriously played like probably a top five right tackle next year. So just expecting Harrison to be a top five right tackle in general is just a little bit of atrocious. You can't expect that going in.
Have you? Okay. So I admittedly, you know, I watched him, you know, pre-draft five. Now, this happens every year when they draft a guy. That's when you actually watch him deeper. Have you watched him again since they drafted him?
I honestly didn't really watch him at all, except for like a couple of clips that I saw on Twitter before the draft. And then after the draft, I compiled just a bunch of highlights for every draft pick that you can find on Big Cat Country. And honestly, my favorite highlight reel was Anton Harrison. He was a lot of fun to watch, especially for a trench player. And so, I'm no draft expert or scout or anything like that, but just from the 15 minutes that I have gone back to watch them, it was a lot of fun.
That was a solid ad drop there. That was
yeah.
No, I'm a big fan of him, honestly. I mean, yeah, I get like there are questions coming from Oklahoma's scheme, which is, you know, not anything close to an NFL scheme, and playing against Big 12 pass rushers, which, you know, despite Will McDonald going top 15, are not anywhere close to, you know, NFL pass rushers. But I mean, he still played a couple, you know, first round picks, and McDonald, the guy at Kansas City, FAU, the guy at Kansas City drafted. He was a clean prospect, at least to me. And he's one of the youngest tackle prospects. Mm-hmm. I think obviously there'll be, you know, probably some bumps along the way. But one, he's somebody who, like, you don't, when the Titans missed an Isaiah Wynn, I think everybody can just assume they didn't do their homework on him. The Jaguars, like, when they do their homework on guys, like Phil Rauscher, he was at Oklahoma's pro day this year, and, you know, obviously he's talked about the importance of pro days, and the Jaguars, Trent Baalke did too. I think you can see just how important it was, like the homework that they did on him. So I think if, you know, Rauscher's given his stamp of approval, which he obviously did, mm-hmm. and mixed in with, I think the scheme makes things a little easier for tackles maybe than some other schemes. You know, I think last year Trevor had one of the quickest time to throws in the NFL, and I think Trevor just himself, you know, he's a low sack quarterback to begin with. You know, he's a low hit quarterback to begin with. I mean, I think it's a good landing spot for a young tackle.
Yeah, I think Doug does a lot of RPOs and a decent amount of play action, but it's really a tackle or offensive line friendly offense because of what you said, just because Trevor is so good at evading pressure and getting rid of the ball. And so I think it's like a good point to not really expect a ton immediately, but like every draft scouting report that I've seen on him is like there might be some hiccups in the short term because he is so young and a little bit raw, but he's generally expected to be a very good pass protector for a long time in the NFL.
If like pre-draft we expected him to be there and we were talking about like him and Torrance, who would you have said, like him or Torrance? Like, I would probably said Harrison made the most sense, because I mean they need a tackle more than a guard.
Yeah, and like I would have given the edge to Harrison more based on like the fact that he plays tackle versus guard as much as anything else. But it's especially easy to say that with hindsight, since Torrence ended up falling into like the mid to late second round.
Yeah. Like in hindsight, Brian Branch would have been a reject, you know, 24 or whatever.
Exactly.
That's I have a whole Galaxy Brain take about the people grade stuff on like expected draft position. Like how is something expected when it, the draft position isn't something that's actually a real thing until the draft happens. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like now Brian Branch's expected draft position is where he got drafted. Like to me, it's something like you look at later down the road in terms of value instead of
right. It's hard to like balance how to use like the consensus mocks. Cause it's like, should a team get praised for getting a guy that like fell pretty far, or should they not receive any praise at all for just like, yeah, it's tough to gauge.
That's what teams are asking about Harry Roseman. So what would you grade the Anton
pick? I would grade it an A-, because to me, the only, unless you've like really dove into his tape and don't like him as a prospect, to me, the only negative about the draft pick in the night overall after trading back and getting extra draft capital would be opportunity costs, just because edge rushers Nolan Smith and Miles Murphy were still available at 24. Plus Joey Porter Jr. and the Maryland cornerback Deontay Banks. So like, and then after I thought about it a little bit, I was like, it's since, as you said, Anton was kind of the last of the top five tackles, and there was a decent amount of edge and cornerback depth in round two. I was like, I'm not really as concerned about the opportunity cost. And then of course they ended up not taking a corner at day three.
I was gonna say they went ahead and hit that. Don't worry.
Yeah, but like, for trading back and still getting the guy that you wanted most, that was like highest on your board, I'd give it an A-, even though I would have preferred personally to see a corner.
Yeah, I mean, they were going to take him number 24 overall. I mean, I think even a reporter, you know, tweeted they're taking him at number 24 overall, and then they traded last minute. And then they, of course, took him at number 27. And it, obviously, the Cam Robinson, you know, the pending suspension that's going to, everything there.
Trent Baalke. Shouts to you, by the way. Go to Jaguar Report to see John's massive bomb. Nice break. That's all I'm saying.
Appreciate it. Baalke, when he talked about it, he said, you know, how he got asked if it played into the decision to draft Harrison, and more or less said, you know, yeah, it did. I think overall, like, he said if it was that big of a deal, they would have just taken Harrison at 24. I'm not sure if I agree with that, because I think like the value and what they did with taking him was knowing these other teams weren't going to take a tackle. Like I saw the Cowboys were debating Mozzie or Bergeron, but they were talking about Bergeron as a guard.
Right.
You know? And that was his problem with the Jaguars fit. You know, he would have been a good left guard option, but not a great right tackle option, which was my whole why he was like a kind of a doomsday scenario. I thought maybe if Harrison was off the board, you know, maybe that's a pick. So I agree with you. I said B plus on draft day, but after it's marinated more, I'd go with A minus. It was a good pick, I think. I get why people are underwhelmed by it, but I think it was a pick that had to happen.
Yeah, it was just, and like even the, I mean, Banks did end up getting taken at 25th overall, but the big players that were on the board were all people who were falling for a reason, yeah. Like Joey Porter and Nolan Smith and Brian Branch and Osiris Torrence. So yeah, it was an A-minus pick. Yeah. Moving on to day two, the Jacksonville Jaguars then had their big shock of the draft by taking first, moving down from 56 to 61st overall, even after Baalke acquired extra picks on day one, and they were kind of talking about moving up in the second, but they traded down instead and ended up taking tight end Brenton Strange, who started for 3 years at Penn State and was third team all Big Ten in 2022. But he's also joined Drew Sample and Cole Kmet as the only tight ends since 2014 to be drafted in the top two rounds with less than 800 career receiving yards in college. So to be frank, he was not expected to be a second round pick.
Yeah. No, I think I think even like the most optimistic evaluators had him what, like third round? Like third right. or fourth round.
Yeah, I think I saw on Brugler's guide he had him as a third or fourth rounder, and that was the highest that I had seen him.
And I mean, even above tight ends, he went behind guys who are, you know, frankly, you know, Tucker Kraft, who you know, I honestly did like when I watched. During I watched, and obviously had some kind of, you know, medical issue, but
right.
I mean, other than that, I'd probably say that was about where, you know, the tight end class like stops being interesting. Like, I would take him over, you know, I would take Strange when I've watched him over the Josh Riley types, the Will Mallory types. Like, mm-hmm. my complete take, like, on the Strange pick, honestly, has nothing to do, like, with him as a player. Like, I think he's an interesting prospect, you know, like,
right.
his comparison. And
there was a, like, run on tight ends in the second round. Like, there was, I think, five taken before him. So, if you're like following the board or whatever, it makes a little bit of sense from that perspective.
I look like a moron. I said my like random off the cuff prediction when looking at like, I expected them to trade up around two. Okay. One, I missed on that completely. And then two, I thought they were going to trade up for a tight end and take, you know, Darnell Washington. Cause I was just assuming freak tight end from Georgia, Trent Baalke would be in love with. Mm-hmm. He barely went in the top 100. So that was, Yeah, that was a complete swing and a miss. But okay, yeah, mm-hmm. you're right. Sam Laporta went, you know, at the very start of the round. Michael Mayer went the next pick. Musgrave went 42. I mean, these are guys who honestly all would have made sense for the Jaguars to be interested in. And then, so Jaguars were picking at 56. They traded with the Bears, picked up that day three pick. The Bears took Tyreek Stevenson, a guy who honestly made sense for the Jaguars.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't imagine he was the guy the Jaguars would tend to pick in on if they knew the Bears were going to take him. So I don't know. I don't think he would have been the pick there. You know what I mean?
Right.
So, and then John Michael Smith said, it seems like he's a center, not a guard. So I don't think they were going to take him. Luke Schoonmaker at 58 to the Cowboys. Osiris Torrance, DJ Turner. I mean, Schoonmaker and Turner going right before the Jaguars pick, I felt like was a pretty big, you know, significant run. And then Cam Smith obviously going at 51 to Miami. Keon White at 46 to the Patriots. These are all picks I felt like the Jaguars like would have potentially been really interested in. And then, you know, they, by the time they're on the board, it's okay, you can't take a guy like Tyler Steen or anything like that, you know, because you already picked offensive line. You mm-hmm. don't want to take a Zach Pick or Byron Young from Alabama. Those are reaches. At the end of the day, like, I get why they had to take a tight end like there if you're going to target one, because you either get one there or get one who's not going to contribute at all. And I guess the question is a tight end over, you know, one of the cornerbacks or one of the pass rushers who went after him. You know, Garrett Williams from Syracuse, you know, was a guy that they passed on. Zach Harrison was a guy that they ended up passing on. Yaya Diaby was a guy they ended up passing on. You know, Kobe Turner, you know, these are all different guys that, you know, could have potentially been those type of pass rushers. I guess those are the biggest questions with the Strange pick. And then, I mean, it sounds like, you know, that they want him to be the number two tight end, play some H-back and stuff, like do a Trey Burden type role like he did in Philadelphia.
I just sent out, right before we started this pod, I sent like an RIS comparison of the two of them, because I would say Burton definitely makes a lot of sense as a comp for Strange.
I mean, what was Burton's like season high in targets under Peterson? You have that number?
I can find it, but yeah, like it's definitely less of a
like
Dallas Goedert pick and more of a Trey Burton.
And people are like asking if he can be the direct replacement for Ingram, and you know, maybe he can, but what if? In a month, it sure seems like the Jaguars still want to extend Evan Ingram. What if in a month when they extend Evan Ingram, like it seems like they want to? And what are you saying then? You know, like, I don't know. And there's a lot of, I mean, Jamal Agnew literally had the most self-aware tweet I've ever seen from an NFL player. Tweeted last night about like getting the ball. And he's like, there's not a lot of touches when you like look at Kirk, Ingram, Zay, Ridley, and ETN. And mm-hmm. he's saying this. I mean, that's going to be the case. It's so strange. Like, even like in the case where people were saying he'll improve them the most, like short yardage stuff, red zone, etc. It's like such a niche role. Like, I guess the biggest question is taking that role at 61.
Right. Like, yeah, it's like the opportunity cost comes up again because the Jaguars ranked 30th in pass defense DVOA last year. And we've talked a lot about on this podcast about how they had a nice stretch at the end of the season, but it was kind of some fake games against bad offenses with bad quarterbacks. And so for them, like not to take a corner or an edge in day one is like, okay, that's fine because you need to fill the hole at tackle. And because there's plenty of talent still available on day two, but then for them not to come away with on on day two with just defensive help was pretty shocking to me.
Yeah, like I realize I'm not an NFL general manager. I never will be. But like my armchair GM move, what I would have done, I would have stayed at 56 and taken DJ Turner.
Right. I agree that like corner would have been probably the move there, because I think Tyreek Stevenson, DJ Turner, Cam Smith, if you had moved up for him, Julius Brents, if you had moved up for him, there might be like one other name, but it seemed like there was a lot of decent round two cornerbacks that would have made a lot of sense, as opposed to like reaching on Trey Burton, whose best season in Philadelphia was 60 targets, 37 catches, and 327 yards for a touchdown.
Yeah, so I like, again, armchair GM, this is so easy for me to say because I'll never have a job that's dependent on me being correct on, you know, these
things. Isn't that nice, though?
It is. It's fantastic. The job seems extremely stressful. Like, these guys aren't having fun. It seems stressful, dude. It seems like hell.
I was feeling sorry for myself just, like, writing stories in my house. Like, I can't imagine how stressed they are in war rooms. Can't imagine.
They did enough scouting that they had info on Derek Parrish, I guess.
Yeah.
So that, there we go. This is just in my opinion, and from like people who pre-draft, it sounded like they liked a lot, and then they really into this draft wanting, like, it felt like they wanted Shoemaker at some point in the draft, and this tight end run sure seemed like he was going to go in the second. I'm not going to say they traded back thinking he was going to be there at 61, but it wouldn't surprise me if he was who they wanted like in the second round. And then when he went, I think they were kind of asking themselves, okay, what do we do now? Me personally, if I traded back and my target was Shoemaker and he got taken, okay, DJ Turner was taken there too, I probably would have taken Yaya Diaby, honestly. Like, he would have been a reach, but he's still it's a roll on the dice on a premium position. And he didn't go, that much later.
Yaya went the fifth. Mixing him up with – Yes, you're never mind. You're right.
With the guy they took?
Yeah.
I meant they should have taken the guy that took in the fifth round.
I would have taken a corner. And I don't understand if you want Shoemaker. Like, why would you trade back five picks? Is it really worth, like, the day three capital that you got to risk that move? It seemed like Balky was just, like, on a heater from Thursday night, or just on a heat check. And he's like, just let me keep shooting, man. Let me keep shooting.
And like you said, like the board fell the way it fell, like it did, you know, like the end of the round and basically all these rounds was not like the place to be picking. Like when you're a good team, you're missing on prospects.
Yeah,
like, they missed like on like a lot of guys. Like Derek Hall would have been super intriguing. They never had a chance for him. You know, Isaiah Foskey never had a chance for him. Ojulari never had a chance for him. You know, Julius Brents, Brian Branch, Keon White. You know, these are all guys that would have had make pretty significant moves up the board for, and they like never had a shot at any of them.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking during the draft, was that like
they kind of hit you, doesn't
it? Not just the first round that gets impacted by like how well your team did the last year. Like, there's a pretty significant impact in all the other rounds too.
Maybe we'll temper expectations for day two next year.
Mm. Okay. So you think they're making the playoffs after this haul, John?
Yeah.
I do too.
Come on.
I was trying to think of like hot takes earlier, and one of them was something about them not making the playoffs. I was like, even that's just too hot. It would have to be like, you'd have to like guess on injury.
Yeah, I'm not protecting you from that one.
Yeah,
I'm not protecting you for that one.
Fortunately, they
what grade do you give this?
Up for grabs still.
What grade do you give this?
D.
Yeah.
D plus maybe.
I was gonna say D plus. Yes.
Oh, yeah, I thought you were going to say F, honestly. I was trying to go higher than you.
Nah, I'll go D+, because I know Doug Peterson knows more than me, and this definitely seems like a pick that he was, like, you know, really about, you know, tight end friends and, you know, the likes, etc. it definitely seemed like a Doug Peterson influence pick. So, and I'm sure, you know, like he's the cook in the kitchen. You know, he knows how he's going to use him. So I'm assuming. So. Again, my issue is less so the player. No, I don't think he's a like late second player, but in this draft, if you're going to reach on a tight end, I get it to an extent. You know, he's better than he's better than every tight end that went after him except for Kraft and Washington, and they both had medical injuries. So as much as I want to say just take Darnell Washington, I also completely get it. You know, if Darnell Washington was like was anything close to healthy, he wouldn't have been anywhere close like, to being available in the 90s. So I get it, you know.
What were Kraft's concerns? Because I think he was going to be a target, but then
he missed a lot of time with ankle injuries.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So,
like, again, like some positions just kind of falls off, you know, completely. Like with Harrison, it was that offensive tackle, and with Strange, it seems like it was that tight end.
And then, I mean, the one we're about to break down now, Tank Bigsby, it seemed like the same thing was happening at running back.
Are we talking ourselves? The draft is like it's like its own market every year. Like it's hard to navigate, dude. It really is.
I mean, at the end of the day, I think it's pretty inexcusable not leading with a defensive player in the first three rounds. But like, I definitely see the vision for all of these picks.
I guess the biggest question is like their inability to trade up, and you're wondering like, who maybe would they take? Would they have taken me? Yeah, you know, next, you know, Tank Bigsby, you know, third round, number 88 overall. You know, guys who went, you know, immediately before him, you know, started at number 80. DJ Johnson from Oregon went to Carolina at 80. Tajay Spears, you know, maybe he was a potential target, went to the Titans at 81. Yaya Diaby went to the Bucks at 82. Riley Moss, who I'm assuming would have been a target, went to the Broncos at 83. Devon. The Texas A&M running back went to the Miami Dolphins at 84. Dion Henley went to the Chargers at 85. Trent Simpson to the Ravens at 86. Jair Brown to the 49ers. And then Tank Bigsby. And to pick Bigsby, they passed on guys like Kobe Turner, Demarion Overshawn, Dorian Williams, Wanya Morris, Darnell Washington, Michael Wilson, Jordan Battle, Siaki Ika, a kicker, and Mekhi Blackmon. And that is the list for day two.
A kicker. When did you say that Garrett Williams went again to the Cardinals?
Garrett Williams went after they took he went 72, so he went after they took Strange. So he went like early day three. He went early third round.
Yeah, I thought he was going to be a potential two or three round quarterback target.
And he said he's going to be ready by July. So
what did he like tear his ACL late last year?
October.
Okay. So Tank Bigsby was a 3-year starter at Auburn, SEC Freshman of the Year, and second team all SEC player in 2020, and led the team in rushing in 2021 and 2022. The only exposure I've gotten to him really is that I saw a stat where he didn't lead the Auburn backfield in yards per carry last year, which is apparently not great for running backs, but after talking to a buddy who went to Auburn, it was like, I mean, the Tigers weren't very pretty last year on offense. Apparently it was a terrible offensive line, and like Tank kind of got like the more difficult carries in more difficult situations. And so there's kind of a lot of context around that. Nice. And the only other thing is, what do you say?
That's good cope.
Yeah. That's what I was looking for, man. That's what I was just searching for the last 3 days. Yeah, and then I've just seen that he's like a tough dude, just like tough physicality, not just to add to the running back room in Jacksonville, but to add to the roster overall, just tough. So what are your takeaways from Tank?
Well, he's definitely a type of guy that have, you know, like he's a super like physical runner, violent runner, in between the tackles guy, can break break tackles. He has good vision. Doug Peterson mentioned like he has a good feel for like fronts and defenses, and when you watch him, like it makes a lot of sense. Like he runs with a lot of juice, but he also, it seems like he runs with a very good understanding for like where defenses are flowing to and spacing and stuff like that. Like I feel like he's a great compliment, you know, for ETN. And again, like I feel like this is where he should have gone overall. Like I think they're going to carry 4 running backs. You know, I did my 53 man prediction. I think Tank will be in the mix for running back number 2. The Ernest Johnson will be a special teams, like a core special teams guy. Hasty will be in the mix for running back number 2 and be a special teams guy. ETN will obviously be the lead back. And then I think Steve's going to have a lot of time for the team, man. It's not unheard of for a 5th round pick to not make the team, you know, his second reason. It's not It's not going to be. No, it's not. It's not.
I was just rolling my eyes because what about fifth round picks who, like, the team traded up for?
It's probably happened. I have no data to back
it's probably up. Happened.
I have no data to back up one of them. I mean, maybe he learns how to play special teams, but I mean, he didn't play any last year, like a single snap. So I don't know. I like Tank the player, the pick again. Like, it's the question of taking a running back over taking some of these other guys. Like, I think Kobe Turner would have been an interesting guy to take if you want to go defense. I think, you know, if Jordan Battle, you know, they don't need a safety, but they ended up taking, you know, two potential safeties on day three. He would have been an interesting guy. I think Mickey Blackman, you know, would have been a potentially interesting guy. And, you know, Keely Ringo, I would have just taken Ringo at that spot. You know, I would have. That's the player, again, armchair GM, but who I would have taken there. But I like think the player is just the value of they're taking, you know, a backup running back there. But, I mean, it does probably say ETN's not – I would assume ETN doesn't get, like, a big extension from the team.
Right. Well, how many touches – like, how many carries do you think D'Ernest Johnson is going to get per game? Five or – closer to zero.
Five?
I mean, okay. I know he's not going to. Okay.
No, closer to zero, dude. Like, if everybody's healthy?
Yeah.
D'Ernest Johnson?
Yeah. I just thought I brought, like, something different than all the other running backs. Yeah, so I thought, like, for all of their third and ones, let's bring out D'Ernest.
Training camp can change everything, you know? Like, there are. No, and Sopranos, when it's always like trials are there to be won, you know, like jobs are like position battles are there to be won, you know, like they're there, but I'd be surprised if he's anything more than a special teams guy. Like,
okay. That I was just giving a bigger role, so I appreciate you bringing me back down to earth. Fine. Yeah, I don't. What else?
I don't know. So what grade do you get that? I give it a C plus. Like, I like the pick. Don't really get taken the position there. I guess that's really my only.
I was going to say that too. To be different, I'll just go. No, I was going to say C+. So I'll do C+ too.
Yeah. Are you keeping track of these at all?
No, but I can. Should I?
Nah.
Okay.
Nah. All right. Next up, Ventrell Miller. You go ahead and take the lead here as a Florida.
Okay. So when I really wanted the team to trade up for Derek Hall because in, like, my last mock, I predicted that they would trade up for him. And so at this point, the Jags hadn't taken anyone that I had mocked to them. And so I was just looking for, like, something that would make me feel good. So then Ventrell Miller gets picked in the fourth round and I jump up and go, yes. And then I say, what round is it right now? Because as someone who graduated from Florida and from someone who mocked him once or twice, I was like, it was a redemptive pick for me. But then I was like, wait a minute. Hold on. What day is it?
What round did you mock him in?
I had him going to the sixth round. And that was like, that might have been kind to him.
That's about where people have him.
Yeah. So Ventrell is a 4-year starter at Florida at linebacker. He was a 6-year super senior because he dealt with injuries the past year or two and might have gotten a COVID excuse. And he led the team in tackles in 2020 and was a team captain in 2022. It's kind of the biggest thing going for him, it seems like, is that he's a big leader / locker room guy / I don't know, whatever you want to call it. Thoughts?
Anytime like a player from Florida is like the top of the thing on their scouting report is their leadership, I raise an eyebrow.
Very fair. Yes. Yeah. He should not have been taken in the fourth round.
I just following Florida fans for as long as I have, like, I saw their reactions when the bigger thing. So like it in the press box, like somebody had said it and I thought it was like a goof. Like, because we were talking, you know, before the pick, and Michael DeRocco at ESPN asked, he's like, what's one position they would take here? And I would just enrage everybody. And I was completely joking. I was like, watch him take a linebacker here. He says, Victor Miller's taken. And I'm like, I didn't think they would do it.
We were talking about the funniest picks that would happen. I was trying to say 6th round linebacker was set to happen, and then it just happened in the 4th instead.
He's a very, very bulky Jaguars linebacker. To me, like people are saying replace Shaq Quarterman. I don't even think he's going to replace Shaq Quarterman this year. I think they're both going to be on the roster. And it's just it's going to be a linebacker core that, you know, you're going to have to hope the starters are healthy. Then you want some speed on the field. But
as a Gators fan, yeah, I'm excited that he's on the team, and I think he'll be valuable on special teams and in the locker room. But I do not want to see him on first down, second down, or third down.
And that's the first. That's the, you said special teams. Like, to me, again, they came into the draft needing basically, like, in terms of players they're replacing, that they're like, okay, we have to replace these guys, or we don't know if we can field the team right now. Juwan. That was it. You know, like, yeah, you got to replace Key, but I'm assuming they have a plan for pass rusher. You think? Know, but Juwan was the main one. After that, they could basically like throw darts. You know, they really could. It wasn't anybody who needed to play, you know, instantly. So, what grade do you give it?
D minus.
I give it a, okay. I gave it a D. There we go. I'm glad we're different. So
the one pick that genuinely deserves consideration for an F. Maybe Strange too. What do you think? Or do you think it doesn't deserve an F?
Like, my only thing is, like, yeah, I completely agree. And you're at this point in the draft where legitimate, like, picks are still important, but it's still a non-top 100 pick to me. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. I couldn't find it afterwards, but I feel like I saw something on the timeline on Friday about how, like, Baki told him on the phone, we skipped a couple of guys just to make sure we got you.
I think they said that he said it in his interview with the Jags media.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, like, I definitely get your point that it's day 3 and you're just kind of throwing out darts, and Baki did a good job of getting extra capital to, like, so that they could then, like, get the defensive backs and edge rushers and stuff like that later on.
Yeah.
But it's just like prioritizing a backup tight end and rotational running back, sure. Then prioritizing a linebacker who should never see a defensive snap. I don't know.
That's like you said, he came out throwing heat that first night, dude. Like, he was in the this.
Yeah.
Those picks, like, 3 picks were an adventure. I was very curious where the draft was going to go after the Ventura Miller pick, because it wasn't just that being the pick. It was like the 2 picks beforehand were also kind of head scratchers. So you're like, all right, this is shaping up to be a pretty weird class. But after that, Baalke kind of got in his bag after that pick.
Yeah. So 4th round, 130th overall, the Jaguars take defensive end Tyler Lacy, who was a 4-year starter at Oklahoma State and earned all Big 12 honorable mentions for the past 3 seasons. Smoot replacement?
Yeah.
Key replacement?
Like, you watch him play, and, like, his body type, his strengths, how he'll be deployed. Like, he's a Smoot. Like,
yeah.
To me, he's, like, the Smoot replacement. So, will he be as good, like, this year as Smoot was last year? No way. Like, he still has a lot of work to do as a pass rusher. But, I mean, when I watched him, like, this is the range I would have taken him in. You know, he'll be a good run defender right away. He has positional versatility. He has special teams versatility. And there are traits for him to develop as a pass rusher. So, I thought it was a solid pick. And, you know, like you said, to me, if, like, finding a potential long-term Smoot replacement in the 4th round, I think, you know, that's – probably a good pick. I tweeted something about the pass rush after the Miller pick, and then they took Lacy, and somebody tweeted at me, and I'm like, okay, that's not what I meant.
Yeah.
Per se.
Now the team will be able to sack Patrick Mahomes in 2023.
Yeah. So I gave this one a B minus.
Oh, damn it, John. I was going to say B minus too. I'll go B instead, because yeah, Lacy was the only other guy besides Ventrell that I had specifically mocked to the Jaguars. I had them taking them in the 5th instead of the 4th, but that's not that big of a deal. So yeah. It makes sense in terms of long-term and short-term filling out the roster. The next pick was Louisville offensive outside linebacker, Yasir Abdullah, picked 135th overall, so just five selections after Lacey in the fourth. Abdullah started for 4 years and had a second team all ACC selection in 2021, first team selection in 2022, and he led the team in sacks and tackles for loss each of the past 2 years. So seems like a pretty productive pass rusher to add in, on day three, albeit small.
Yeah, like to me, the only like questions, like other guys to consider there would have been Darius Rush from South Carolina, but there's a reason he's available there in the fifth round.
I think he fell all the way to the seventh.
Nah, he got taken like two picks after.
Never mind then. Russ was thinking of someone else.
And then KJ Henry, who got taken like with the very next pick after that. Then
I was thinking of Eli Ricks. I'm sorry to interrupt.
Yeah. They took one of the very best players like still on the board. I was surprised he was still there. I thought he was going to go like early round four. Like there are some people who think maybe he should play off ball linebacker. I think the Jaguars, and it sounded like from the press conference, they're going to start him off on the edge. Trent Baalke said like their coaches wanted kind of a guy who's a change up from what they had with, and you know he's that. You know he's a smaller guy, but he's light and quick, very good first step. You know, like, you know, great athlete on the edge. To me, he's like one of the more exciting picks to make. I get that one an A+ just in terms of pure value. He's somebody who I thought, you know, should have went earlier. And he gives you a lot of versatility and, again, special teams value.
Right. I would say B+ just because.
You're a tough grader.
Well, yeah, I'm not going to be like one of those sites that gives out an A and B to every single team. It's like that's not how this works. But I think it's like a genuinely above average grade for
that's the second A I've given them in six picks.
Yeah. I mean, I also just don't want to give an A to someone who I've watched about 10 minutes of.
Fair enough.
And so, but I don't know. Like I think it's definitely a good pick. Like you said, I would agree that it's one of the more exciting picks that the Jaguars came away with. He'll be like a sub package pass rusher.
Yeah.
Just a designated pass rusher. And that'll be fun to see. So
he's a different type than anybody else they have. And when you're adding to a room, like that's what you want to do. And to me, I thought he was one of the best pass rushers. Like I thought, overall, him and Henry were probably the best guys like left if you want to add anybody to give you pass rush too. So I thought that was a good pick there.
Okay. Antonio Johnson was selected in the fifth round, 160th overall. He was a two-year starter at safety for Texas A&M, though he also played in the nickel a lot. He earned second-team All-SEC selection in 2021 and a first-team selection in 2022, led A&M in forced fumbles last year. So in terms of value, this is a great pick because Antonio Johnson was sometimes mocked to the Jaguars in the second or even first round. And then he falls all the way to the fifth round. And so everyone and their mother was expecting him. If you're listening to the audio, Shifley just did the Brian Windhorst meme. What's going on here?
Yeah.
John, what's going on here with Antonio Johnson falling to the fifth round?
Like he had a really bad combine. He only had one like career interception in college. Like somebody asked him in the Zoom, like, his favorite play, and he was like, oh, my only interception. I really puts it in context.
That's like, actually a wild stat.
Yeah. No, it is. So, like, I get why he wasn't taken on day two, but he shouldn't have been taken in the fifth round. You know, mm-hmm. like where he was taken at all. He shouldn't have been taken. Like, have you looked at what they said about him after they drafted him, like Falky and stuff?
No, that's what you're here for. I want you to tell me.
To me, it sounds like they have zero intentions of him playing like nickel. Like, because, he played a lot of snaps in the slot. Thank you, PFF, everything. We get it. The reason he did that was because he played strong safety for Texas A&M. Rayshon Jenkins played a good amount of snaps in the slot last year, didn't he, Gus?
He did, and he was Jacksonville's strong safety.
Is he a slot corner?
He is. Oh man, no, he's not.
So you see, and that seems to be the thing that's tripping a lot of people up. Like he's not like to me. He's going to be Rayshon Jenkins' backup, a core four special teams guy,
Bulky, of course, mentioned that he was a special teams guy at A&M. And, you know, maybe one day he can replace Jenkins, but he's not going to be the nickel guy because that's not his game. But, you know, he's an enforcer as a tackler. He's a really good blitzer. He makes a lot of sense, like, what they like in defensive backs. So, I mean, just for – he was taken probably a full, like, round and a half later than when he should have been. So I give that one an A+. And I did watch more than 15 minutes on that one.
I'll give it a B+ because at first I was thinking A+ as well. And then it kind of went back to the thing for me of like, well, does the team deserve a lot of credit for drafting a guy who fell so far? Or if anything, should they like be questioned for drafting a guy who fell so far? And then like, I also thought it was an A initially because I saw the PFF nickel snaps and I hadn't watched them. So I was like, oh, okay. That's a starter in 2023. There you go. Potential starter at nickel.
Read the Jaguar Report scouting reports, baby. I wouldn't lie to you. I was preaching the truth.
I promise you, John, I read all of your reports. There's been so much that's happened in the past month.
Somebody at the combine told me they might take him in the first, and it was after I watched him, and I was like,
You sure?
So I did feel some validation that he didn't go that like that. So he definitely should have gone earlier than he did, but everybody was like, okay, there you go. That's a starter and secondary, you know, future, like, impact player. I'd probably say slow your horses, but I mean, it's a good day three pick.
Yeah, no, that's what I'm saying. Like, I'd just say slow your horses and take it down from an A+ to a B+ is what I'm doing. Because, yeah, I mean, I feel like Rayshon Jenkins would be a pretty good player comp too, not just Jenkins' replacement, because he's just, sure, he's a little bit bigger and faster. And like more athletic generally, but he just kind of flies around and clearly loves to hit people and might not be great in coverage.
I gave you my player comp.
Needs to play close to the ball. What's your comp?
I gave it to you like a week or two ago.
John, I just said there's been so much happening recently. I don't remember anything you tell me, even though I promise I was listening or reading at one point.
Josh Jones.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
I forgot about that.
That's the same reaction you gave me the first time. It makes sense though, right?
Yeah, that's a good one. That's why I'm laughing, is because it's a good one. But okay, so B+ and A+ for Antonio Johnson, who was selected in the fifth. Getting to the sixth round guys now. Parker Washington, wide receiver out of Penn State. I'd say A-.
Yeah, no, I give that A. Like that was a like another like guy who probably went like a full round and a half later than he should have.
Yeah,
like if he had done probably like any athletic testing and didn't have injuries at the end of like last year, he probably would have went like closer to the top like 100. To me, like he's a solid like wide receiver prospect. He's not somebody you're gonna, I think, like target super early. And obviously, he's gonna be further down the depth chart right now. But one, he does have special teams value for right now, and two, like, Christian Kirk's not even a bad player comp, like, for him and stuff.
Like, I was thinking, like, Christian Kirk, but just a little slower.
Like just the way, like, he's built and stuff like that, the way he wins. Like, it makes sense. I think definitely he's a guy who makes sense, like, further down on the depth chart, somebody for them to develop. I had him making the 53. Whether he's a fifth receiver, whether he's a sixth receiver, yeah, doesn't really matter. Like, I don't think anybody outside the top three receivers is going to get the ball very much. But I thought it was a good pick, really good value for there. And, I mean, just in terms of, like, the receivers who, like, were left on the board when they picked, like, that's a guy who I would have taken. You know, I would have taken him over Perry. I would have taken him over Palmer. Keyshawn Boutte, however you pronounce it, his a more motivated than ever, probably, client terrified me. So, probably taking Washington over him too.
Yeah, I don't think the Jags were necessarily going into the draft being like, ooh, let's find like a nice slot backup option behind Kirk, but one just kind of fell into their laps in the sixth round and it was good value. So this, you have six receivers making the roster.
Yeah,
so Calvin Ridley, Zay Jones, Christian Kirk, Parker Washington, Jamal Agnew, Tim Jones. Okay, and then one question I forgot to ask. You were talking about Antonio Johnson and said core four special teams, or what does that mean?
Play every special teams unit. Like kickoff, return, punt, and field goal.
Okay. That's what I figured. Just clarifying.
Yeah.
All right. Grass. So we're giving Parker Washington A's. All right. Sixth round, pick 202. Jaguars select Rutgers corner Christian Braswell. I'd never heard of him before the draft. He was the first corner taken, though, so for that, I'll give the team a B.
Yeah. He was somebody I had to go back and watch because, like you had said, like I hadn't heard about him for a draft. When I've gone in and watched him, though, I'll go ahead and give it a B minus, B. I feel like he probably went about the range he should be drafted. I think he can be an interesting, you know, like anybody who's going to like make a depth chart out there now and saying that he's going to be the nickel right now, that's complete guesswork because, I mean, these guys are going to all get a chance, but it's whether or not they show up in training camp and actually play to it. But he has good speed, good coverage ability, good ball production. You know, he was really good for Rutgers last year. So I think this is a good pick. And, you know, secondary is one of those positions that, you know, you just kind of want to throw darts at, you know, like hope like one guy you hit on eventually is right. And, you know, they tried to do that last year, TBD, but it's not looking like either is going to be, you know, like a revelation or anything like that. So no. here's another try.
Why are people mocking him? Go ahead.
I was good. Last thing I will say, when I went back and watched him, I think he's a better prospect than Brown and Junior were.
Okay. All right. Thanks. Why are people saying that he's a slot corner from someone who doesn't know really anything about him? Is it because of his size, or did he play there a lot in college, or just because of the need in Jacksonville?
No, I mean, he's small. He's not big.
Okay. That's all I needed to know.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that is definitely it. It's not, you know, like a case of people just looking at the cornerback position and saying, oh, there. No, he's like 5'11".
Okay, got it.
Yeah.
So what's your grade for the spec? I gave it a B.
I'll give it a B.
Okay.
That seems fair.
Pick 208, six picks later, the Jaguars select Pittsburgh safety Eric Hallett II.
They've had him down as a cornerback, and Balky said he thinks he can play nickel. He thinks he can also play safety. So, when I watched him, he was a guy who, kind of like Washington, I thought like the grade I gave him would have been like into the fourth, early fifth. So I thought he was really good value for where they got him. Super productive player at Pitt. Tested well. Like I thought this was a B-plus pick. Like if just in terms of like the value you can get in the sixth round, I thought this was a good pick.
I agree. I, again, with the caveat of not having watched a ton of him in terms of the athleticism he has, the few highlights that I have seen of him, and the value, since he was probably shouldn't have been a sixth round guy.
I'm a little surprised it took Braswell before him.
Right. Like, I wasn't surprised at the time since I hadn't heard of either of these guys. But looking back on it, I agree. Because it's like, I definitely agree with that. Seemed to be a decent amount of praise for the Hallett pick. And then, I don't know, I think like a decent amount of people liked the Braswell pick, but it wasn't like as big of a value pick or as exciting as Hallett, maybe.
Tony Pollan, baby.
Do you want to just group all the seventh round guys together? We don't have to. Let's talk about them one by one. Seventh round, pick 226. Jags select Appalachian State offensive lineman Cooper Hodges, who I believe played offensive tackle in college, but is expected to transition to guard.
They're going to play him at guard. He's really big. he's a solid run blocker, really strong. Needs like work on his, you know, pass pro technique, and overall he's a bit stiff, but he's a guy who he'll get a chance during training camp to, you know, compete at guard. But he's a seventh round pick at guard, so I don't know. It was a position of need, so I'll go B minus.
I was gonna say C plus because position of need, like you said. Like I was expecting them to leave the draft with at least one interior lineman.
C plus sounds good too, but I want to be different than you, so I'll go B minus.
Yeah, we have been too much on the same page today.
Yeah, for people who don't prep at all, this is pretty good.
That's true. Pick 227, North Carolina defensive tackle Raymond Vohasek. Am I butchering that? Literally all I know about him is that I'm don't know how to pronounce his last name.
I have no takes other than they could use like nose tackle depth. So again, a training camp guy. It seems like these picks were more or less like guys they wanted in undrafted free agency who they didn't want to fight for in terms of contracts.
Right. Balky did mention after the draft, which is maybe a little bit of copium after not being able to trade up earlier in the draft. But he was like, yeah, these seventh round picks are actually more cost effective than signing undrafted free agents. So that was interesting. Pick 240, maybe the most funnest pick of the whole draft, was Houston fullback / edge Derek Parrish, who, despite his interesting film and analytics as an edge rusher at Houston, is expected to be the fullback in Jacksonville, right, John?
Yeah, I mean, you know, he's really small and has like his arm length, it's like below 30 inches. So like he was never gonna be, you know, if you want to be a pass rusher, he would be playing in like a different league. But
yeah,
he'll get a chance at fullback in training camp. I'm not convinced until I see it with my own eyes that it's gonna be anything more than that. But I don't know. I'll give it a C+ pick just for making somebody ask if it was signaling a philosophical change. Is it?
What was the reply to that?
Peterson, he said, yeah, we're going to be ground and pound. Trevor's going to handle all game.
I saw that response. I didn't realize that was what he was responding to. That's pretty funny. Because I was going to ask, like, do you think it's more of a Balky pick or a Peterson pick? Just because I've never seen a Peterson offense with a fullback. And Balky did bring in a fullback, like, last year or 2 years ago, who was a guy that he drafted in San Francisco.
2020?
Yeah.
Bruce Miller, who was also he was a defensive end at UCF. They converted him to a fullback, and he played for about 5 seasons before he ran into off-the-field issues. So, I don't know. I like I said, I give it a C+ just for making Doug Peterson have to answer a question like that.
Yeah, I'll give it a C+ just because, like all these seventh-rounders, I'll just give a C off the bat. But it's pretty fun. Fullbacks are fun to think and talk about, so C+.
Yeah, so – Overall,
yeah, I wasn't keeping track, so I don't have like a calculator per se, like I might have last year.
I got one for me. If I give you some, you want to put it together
for a trade calculator?
Oh no, not at all.
What are you saying? Or a grade calculator? I meant.
Yeah, that's what I meant. Yeah.
Okay, you want to pull one up?
Yeah.
Okay. So we gave an A- to Anton Harrison.
Yeah. Let's call it a D for Brendan Strange.
Okay.
Okay. Let's call it. Would you call it C+ for Tank Bigsby?
I would say C+.
Yeah. I'll give you that. Vincero, you can go ahead and give a D-.
Yeah.
I'm okay with that. Lacy.
Do we give a B or B+?
Give it a B.
Okay.
And then to me, you can give the next three all A's.
Make them all A-.
Good. No, no, go ahead.
Just because you can't give.
Go ahead. You're a stickler. Go ahead.
Okay. I'll allow you to give out one A/A+.
Parker Washington.
Okay. And then we'll give Yasir and Antonio both A-.
Fine.
Is it Yasir or Yasir?
It's one S.
Yasir. Okay, thank you. Christian Braswell.
Give it a B-.
Eric Hallett, B+.
B+.
And then the rest, B+.
You're giving the rest B+? I was going to say C+.
I said C+.
Okay, good. I was going to say Jesus. yeah, okay.
All right, so what's our average? What's the GPA?
You're asking. I thought you were checking.
I thought you were plugging it in.
I thought you. I was reading it off to you. I thought you were doing it.
Okay, I've got one pulled up right now. Let's just give me 13 letter grades.
Okay. Do you use the plus or minus?
Yeah, it includes plus or minus. So okay. Anton, A-. What are we giving? Strange.
We'll give it a D.
Okay.
C+ for Tank.
Okay.
D- for Vince Rowe.
Okay.
You want to call it a B for Lacy?
A B for Lacy?
Yeah.
Okay.
What, an A for
A minus, A minus, A plus?
Yeah.
Okay. And then Braswell was, do we say B or B plus?
B minus.
B minus?
Yeah.
Hallett?
B plus.
And then the rest C pluses?
Yeah.
Thought for sure you were plugging and chugging.
I was reading off the grades. Now I'm wondering what you were doing.
Okay, so our grade point average is a 2.72, which equals B minus. And that's the same grade that I posted in an article, I think yesterday, for the overall draft class.
You said 2.72?
Yeah, that doesn't matter. It was a B minus, though.
I was a 2.72, a B minus.
I don't know, it's unweighted. So a 3 would be perfect.
So a 3 is perfect?
No, probably a 4. That would make more sense, right? It's got to be a 4-point grading scale. So 4 would be an A. I think that means 3.67 is A minus. 3.3. Just stop. I shouldn't have said anything about the decimals. It's an average of B minus.
Okay. No, it.
If anything, we can like assign a higher weight to like the first round, since obviously Anton Harrison is more important than anyone else, and bring it up from a B minus to a B if you want to be really nice. But
then the day two and day three.
Yeah, bring it back down a little bit.
Okay. You bring back down. Yeah. So
final answer, B minus.
I'll give you a B minus. I'll give you a B minus.
Did you post like a final draft grade at all, or is this your first one?
That's coming after this.
Oh, it's coming after this. Okay, yeah. Well, all right. Do you want to
set my workshop my grades?
Okay. Well, so to break it down for myself, I think day one and day three were wins because you filled your biggest roster hole while trading down to get extra draft capital and just kind of throwing darts at the board in rounds 4 through 7, which is always a good strategy. You just get as many picks as possible and get as many choices as possible for guys who are 50-50 coin flips at best, like in an event as unpredictable and random as a draft. Like no team consistently wins the draft. So to have a bunch of day three picks is just generally speaking a good strategy. And then just like day two, it's less about the players and more about the opportunity cost and not coming away with another cornerback or edge in a conference that has Pat Mahomes, Lamar Jackson, Justin Herbert, Joe Burrow, Josh Allen, now Aaron Rodgers, plus the AFC South all added a rookie quarterback in the first 33 picks of the draft.
Yeah, no, I mean, that was my biggest takeaway is that you didn't really do anything to improve the defense for right now. And that was the unit. Like if you had said before the draft the first three picks were going to be all offense, I would have said you were crazy. You know, like
I did last week. Like my mocks were like one normal predictive one, and then an all offensive mock and an all defensive mock, and people were like, "This is absurd." And I was like, "I know, that's the point. It's like to like just like have a different perspective and think of the draft in a different way." And then they did end up going all offense first three picks, which was pretty bewildering.
Yeah, yeah. So I don't know. Like I agree with you. You know, they did very well on day one and three. Day two was odd, but overall, I like this class more than I liked last year's class. Like after like the dust up of last year. Like I'll be honest. Like I've seen a lot of people like dooming and glooming about this class. I thought like when the dust cleared last year, like Saturday night when it really sets in, what like the draft class is like last year. I was like, man, this class I don't know, but this class, I think they actually did well overall. It's just day two was obviously very odd.
There might have been a little bit of recency bias too, just because with like the heater that Baku is on in day one, you were maybe expecting a lot of things day two.
I was.
And also just
I was expecting Michael Mayer or Darnell Washington and Brian Branch. And
Mayer would have been so cool. I can't believe you. I mean, I kind of can. But I was surprised to see you follow him up.
For as much as people are like, when I've talked to like negative about the Strange pick, they're like, would you have said the same about Mayer? And I'm like, No. That's the point.
Debatably a top 15 player in the class versus debatably a top 15 tight end in the class.
He's a top 15 tight end.
Yeah, he is. I was just trying to.
You're being kitschy.
Yeah. I did another article on Big Cat Country, which was a roundup of national media sources for how they graded the draft, and the consensus for them was a C+, for what it's worth, which I just think is interesting to try to remove bias from within city limits and see how everyone else is thinking about it.
That sounds so fair.
Slightly above average draft haul.
Yeah, and I mean, like you make 13 picks, you'd expect, like, at least I'd say, like, you would hope 5 of them at the very least, you know, to hit in some form or fashion. I don't mean like 5 starters. I mean, like, will you pick them? Like, you consider them a hit. Like, I consider Daniel Thomas a relative hit to where he was taken, you know?
Right.
But
Chris Claybrooks to him.
Yeah, no, I absolutely. And the biggest thing, like, with this is basically hoping Anton can replace Juwan. And I personally think he can. So I overall thought it was a solid. And again, you know, when you have Trevor coming up for a big deal in a couple of years, you know, having this many rookie deals is going to be helpful.
In terms of next steps, I'd assume Buddha is pretty much out as an option after the team drafted. I mean, Antonio Johnson is a 5th-round pick, but it seems unlikely that they reset the safety market based on what the roster looks like right now.
Yeah. A veteran pass rusher, I think, is like – veteran pass rusher, maybe a veteran corner, I think, like, are moves they need to make, like, before week one.
And, yeah, I think they have to have a cornerback, just because if Tyson Campbell or Darius Williams goes down, then you're screwed. But, yeah, I'm expecting at least an edge rusher.
I'm very surprised, like, they're entering next season without, like, the secondary, like, change, like, up front, like, really at all. Like, I know they express confidence in it, but I'm very surprised.
Even like they still lost Shaq Griffin, which I know that no one really cared about Shaq Griffin in the last few months of when he was not even technically wearing a Jaguars jersey, but when he was on the team. But like you still lost a playable cornerback. Oof, yeah. In terms of a timeline for free agent additions, do you think like they could turn around and sign someone next week?
Or within the next probably 2-3 weeks.
Okay. All right. You got anything else?
No, I have predictions on who those players may be, but we'll save that for next episode.
Yeah, I was going to say that. Yeah, good.
I can't unhonk that horn. So.
Okay.
No, I overall, it was a fun draft weekend. The class looked nothing like anybody predicted, which always is pretty funny to see how that plays out. But I don't know. It was a fun weekend. I had a fun time. The first night was, I thought, suspenseful. It was pretty fun. You know, overall, all in all, good draft.
Good draft. I agree. All right. Until next time, we'll be hitting you guys with some free agents to watch. John's official publicized grade and more. Adios.